This is the Echo Network. A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past.
It's a place where I met my wife and my three children were born. And to this day, I'm so proud to call KC home.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's present.
Alex with a basket catch. They're going to send the runner. His throw, a great one! Alex Gordon with a tremendous Gold Glove play.
And a show that looks at Kansas City baseball's future.
With the fifth selection of the 2012 first-year player draft, the Kansas City Royals select Kyle Zimmer.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
This week, we'll let the person who has the highest bar tab ride the bull. We don't have any TVs in our bar, but we make our own entertainment. Mondays, it's free cover charge to anybody with a gun rack in their pickup truck. Tuesdays, we've got $8 beer night. All domestic beers are on special for only $8. It's Spit Cup. Wednesdays is longest tobacco spit. Thursdays is foot fungus night. Friday night is Jamboree night. Bring your crap kick and your 10-gallon hats. And this weekend, you get our world-famous Spit Cup girls. You get to pick which one has the most teeth. It's Spit Cup. No love letters, talking to the wall. Or you could go to Kelly's Westport Inn. The highest quality drinks with the lowest prices. You know what we do. Drinks, friends, plenty of TV showing sports. They've got all the basketball and all the baseball on. Live music on the weekends. The best pizza in Kansas City and fun. Kelly's has the best rooftop patio in town and is voted one of the best places in Kansas City to check out the view, if you know what I mean, and maybe make a new friend. Make the best choice for your evening entertainment, Kelly's Westport Inn. Kelly's is at 500 Westport Road in Kansas City, Missouri. Kelly's Westport Inn. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you. Somebody stands up and says, I'm sick of the controlling and the silver spoon that feeds all your stories and your bowling. Are you listening? Are you listening?
And welcome into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. It is 12/29/2012. Happy end of 2012 to you. We all made it. No apocalypse. It was rather unexciting. Christmas has come and gone. I'm sure you guys have all gotten what you wanted and what you didn't get. You went out and bought yourselves. And it's a Christmas miracle, but we're still here. It's myself, Troy Olson. I'm joined, of course, by Michael Engel and Jeff Herr. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
I'm good.
Fantastic.
No guest this week. We're just going to do a little end-of-the-year show. We're going to try to keep it short, so you'll have about 2 hours of recorded audio. And we'll take it from there. It's going to be a bit of an all-request show. I've been telling you for a while that you can tweet us at KC Baseball Vault or at Kings of Kaufman or at Jeff Report or at Michael Engel. But most importantly, if you tweet at KC Baseball Vault or at KC Royal Man, tweet me your thoughts on the show. I'm glad to use them. We had that happen by one Dr. Tokuball. That's at DrTokuball. And he had some questions on, I'm going to call him what I've known him as, and then I'm going to let Mike actually tell you what his real name is. But he had some comments and thoughts on Mike Stanton, who everybody should know now as?
Giancarlo Stanton.
Giancarlo Stanton. And Giancarlo is hard for me to say. So I'm just going to call him Mike Stanton. Why did he change his name? Does anybody know?
I don't remember.
I have no clue.
Yeah, I don't know. He did, though, but that's all I know. He changed it.
It's not quite like some of the NBA name changes. But
no, he's not Bison Dele or Meta World Peace.
That's my favorite because he's about the most violent guy in the sport. He's Meta World
Kareem Abdul Stanton.
We got this in the box on Twitter from at Dr. Tokuball. And he wants to know that everyone in the world knows that the Marlins are trading Mike Stanton next year, right? And with Cutbird having another year in the Texas League, Ventura being 1 year closer, and maybe a couple extra second-tier guys to be named, could the Royals make a deal like that to bring Mike Stanton into Kansas City, and in doing so, it would help to wash the taste of losing Myers out of his mouth. If we could somehow manage to get Stanton yet this offseason or into next year after Frank Gore and Irving Santana and Chen come off the books, which translates into about $23.25 million. And you know, I had said, well, there are some outfielders coming up in the minors, so you'd want to be careful how you brought Stanton in if you signed him long-term or something like that, because you wouldn't want to block anybody. But he does say, you know, Starling and Bonifacio are a couple years away. But so, guys, what do you think about Mike Stanton? Mike, I'll let you go first. Giancarlo Stanton wearing a Royals uniform along with the pitching additions. Would this team finally be a team that you could truly see as a World Series contender?
Well, I mean, the guy is 6'5", 235. He's built like a lineman. He's huge. I guess they call him Bigfoot. Which is great. He just turned 23. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to have Mike Stanton, Giancarlo Stanton, Bigfoot, whatever you want to call him. Absolutely, I'd love to have him on the Royals. It's just not going to happen. That's all I'm going to say. It's just not going to happen. He's not going to go to Kansas City. But in the last 2 years, he's hit 71 homers in 273 games. So hasn't even played two full seasons, and he's, you know, he's just hitting the ball like crazy. 22 homers as a rookie in 2010, 34 in 2011, 37 last year in 123 games. He's a beast. I mean, there's no other way to put it. He's, you know, going to routinely slug better than 500 every single year, probably the next 10 to 15 years. And this is an MVP kind of guy. In a couple of years, he might be the most prolific power hitter in all of baseball. And we're talking 50 homers a year, you know, routinely. He's just that good. So, yeah, I mean, of course I'd love to see him in Kansas City. I just don't think it's ever going to happen.
Jeff?
Yeah, I think that's pretty – I'd fall on the same lines. I mean, if you're asking me what I like Giancarlo Stanton as a Royal, I mean, absolutely. But, you know, I don't think – that it could happen. I mean, I suppose if Miami was doing some sort of a fire sale, I mean, they already are, but like kept it going somehow and still wanted to get rid of literally everybody. And I mean, I don't even know if after giving up Myers and Montgomery, Odorizzi and all that, if the Royals even have the horses to pull off that kind of trade anymore. The kind of prospects they could get from other teams, say like the Rangers, or the Rays, now that their farm system has been enriched, courtesy of Dave Moore. You know, if you look at those farm systems, I mean, I think they're more in play for someone like Stanton than if you're just talking a prospect. So, plus you have to factor in, as Mike said, he could be one of the best sluggers in the league here in the next couple of years. If that's the case, home runs equal dollar signs, and with all this new TV money coming in and everything, then, I mean, his asking price would be astronomical. So there's that to contend with. Now, granted, Mike, is he's still on his normal rookie contract, right?
Yeah, he's going to be under the regular kind of league minimum kind of thing, and then he's arbitration eligible next offseason. He'll be a free agent after 2016. So there's 4 years of control of this guy.
Hang on.
And,
shit, what did he
do? You know, he's going to get paid.
Yeah, so that, I mean, so there is that. So you could have him for 4 years of pretty well cost controlled. So it's not like a James Shields situation where you only get 1 or 2 years out of him. You know, 4 years is pretty good. But even still, you know, it'd be 4 years and that's pretty much it. If you're the Royals, that is, because no way they could afford someone like him.
We were definitely having some connection issue there, a little bit choppy, and I do apologize for the quality on that. We do this by Skype now. We're not all in the same room anymore. Okay, good. Okay, so we'll keep on going here. So that was our thoughts on Mike Stanton. It most likely, to answer Dr. Tokuball's question, I know a lot of people had talked about this in the offseason. I didn't even entertain the thought with Will Myers around, but it would be interesting now with Will Myers gone to see I'm sorry, Mike, go ahead.
Oh no! You go ahead and finish that. I just want to. I'll put the cherry on top.
Okay. I had pushed away on the Mike Stanton idea because we had Will Myers. Well, with Will Myers gone, that definitely I could definitely see the Royals trying to come into play. And, you know, he makes the remark of you give up Cuthbert and you give up Ventura and a couple of second-tier prospects. But at some point, I mean, I'm all for trading prospects for talent, especially – and I think one thing that Jeff said that really has to kind of get everybody's attention is Giovanni Carlo's on his first contract, man. He ain't very old at all. Some of these guys that we trade for are in their 30s or whatever. You know, he's not Mike Jacobs. He's an established talent that that is young and could be part of a team for a long time if you made the right kind of contract. But we all know the Royals don't make those kind of contracts unless something changes. And I think it would be very interesting if the Royals reached out to do that kind of a move. Mike, go ahead.
I think for it to have any kind of possibility at all, it would happen this offseason. I think it would happen maybe next year when arbitration starts popping up for him and he gets a little more expensive. He's going to make $500,000, $600,000 maybe this year just because that's the structure of the contracts for younger players. So the Marlins really, I mean, they're not going to pay him that much relative to what you know they want to do. Earlier in the week, Jim Bowden from ESPN and FM Radio, he was coming up with kind of ideas for trade. And one that he pitched was a Rangers-Marlins trade that would send Stanton to the Rangers. And it would be, I mean, it would be a blockbuster. It would be huge if you've got the three players he
Oh, we might have lost Mike again.
Into that idea.
Mike kind of cut out there towards the end. I don't know, like I said, sometimes his Lawrence Internet gives him some trouble, so we'll just blame it on KU and call it good there.
Don't do that.
That's just uncalled for.
Come on, man.
You know, I got to gripe for a minute here. You know, I try not to do sweeping generalizations, but man,
it's a good practice.
if what I saw today as far as people that had KU plates and KU type stuff on their cars and the way they parked, I would assume that everybody at KU must take up two parking spaces. Is there like a rule or something that you folks in Lawrence have to take two parking spaces? Because everybody that was double parked today had KU stuff on their car.
I'll make this deal with you. You come down to the University of Kansas campus and try to find a parking space. And you'll see that, yeah, it's pretty much kill or be killed out there. Same thing with downtown, too, especially on the weekend. So
It was messy. I just wanted to find a parking spot and couldn't find one. I was getting a little upset.
It's just ingrained in us. It's a whole class, actually. There's a parking class at KU. There's not. I'm just joking.
He's just making stuff up at this point.
I'm just pulling your leg.
Okay, so let's keep rolling here. And Mike was saying that, and he was cutting out real bad, but I'll kind of summarize that there was a huge deal that was highlighted by the folks at ESPN that where Stanton could go to Texas and they would get Jerks and Profar and a whole bunch of other stuff. And yes, the Royals still have a lot. They still have a lot in the chambers, but it would take a lot to get Stanton. And somebody like Texas needs to make a move because they've been beat on every level, and they've been talking about going young, and Stanton would be a great move for Texas.
Yep.
It'd make their fan base extremely happy. It's something you definitely could see.
I want to see Stanton in that stadium. Oh, my goodness. He might hit 60.
I was going to say, he might hit 80.
Yeah. I mean, if he stays healthy, yeah. He is he's a monster. And, you know, if I were Texas, I'd be hesitant. But if I were Miami, I'd definitely do that deal. I think for the Royals to do that, it would be, I mean, you'd have to have like Hosmer or Moustakas in it, plus maybe Kyle Zimmer. I mean, you're talking like top three prospects or, you know, significant impact guys to do it. You know, Cuthbert's not going to do it. Mike Olt's better than Cuthbert. Jerickson Profar is a premium prospect at a premium position. Martin Perez is better than Yordan Ventura, and he's left-handed. You know, so if that has any kind of legs, and this is just something that the guys kind of pitched as what they think would make sense. It's not anything that's rumored, but, you know, if that's anywhere close to what the value is, Royals aren't even in the market.
And so just to bottom line this, again, our friend at Dr. Tokuball, T-O-K-U-B-A-L-L on Twitter, his suggestion was that we would get Stanton by trading Cuthbert, Ventura, and two second-tier guys that they could announce later or be figured out. You don't see that that would be enough to get Giancarlo Stanton into a Royals uniform. You don't think they'd bite on a Cuthbert, Ventura, and two second tier guys.
Would you do that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Ventura, there's still the question of if he's going to be able to be a starter or not. I think he will. I think the Royals are going to give him that chance, but you know he's a small guy, and it's something that can be a problem. Cuthbert struggled last year, and I think he's going to be okay eventually, but he's still a couple years away. So, you know, it just doesn't fit for me.
Well, I think the problem with that proposal is seems like it would kind of be hinging on Yordano Ventura, and you hear when lots of Royals fans kind of talk about possible trades and who's left in the farm system they could trade, a lot of people seem to throw around that name Yordano Ventura. We could trade, and they absolutely could, but the problem is I don't think that Yordano Ventura, I just don't think his value is very high, to be quite honest, and it's because I think he holds more value to the Royals than he does to a lot of organizations. So I think if you ask a lot of people in baseball, they see him as a guy who, as a starter, his upside is kind of limited. He's not going to be, just because his repertoire isn't huge, and most people would probably say they see him shaking out as a top-line reliever. So that kind of a player is not going to be the centerpiece of any deal, at least not for any sort of premier-type player. Like people were throwing around his name for an Ariadne trade, and if you want to put him as part of the Giancarlo Stanton, that discussion, you know, I don't know that you can base a package around someone like Yordano Ventura and expect to get that kind of a player back. You know, he's just not that kind of a player, unfortunately.
Yeah, a lot of teams have a lot of players that are similar to Yordano Ventura in their farm system, and that's kind of the problem. I mean, maybe he has more potential, but, you know, it's not that big of a gap. It's not like Profar versus every other team's shortstop prospect and things like that. I think there is a tendency, and I've done this too, where, you know, I look at the prospects the Royals have and really think that, oh man, these guys are all going to be something. But you always have to remember that every team has their farm system and every team has players that come out of nowhere. So, I mean, there's always going to be a team that has something very similar, and maybe the Royals have a little more depth than most teams, but, you know, the gap isn't that big even between the top team and, you know, a number 15 team as far as their prospect rankings.
And, you know, just kind of to close out this thought, there is a lot out there, and we've seen Miami make some crazy trades in the past, and, I mean, this year with Toronto and what have you, but I'm going to agree with you guys, and there's just too much else out there. The Rangers are too big of a player in the game right now, and they've been hurt so much on the free agent market that if anybody was going to make a deal, and they're crazy enough to trade Profar and more to get somebody like Stan. So I think it would take the right deal from the Royals, but I think it'd be highly unlikely. And without a contract extension, no trade would be worth it at this point, with as much as the Royals are hurting and how much they're going to need in the coming seasons after the Will Myers trade. So we'll see what happens. And then one last thought on this is we were going to have somebody on from the Marlins to talk about this, and Mike informed me that there are apparently no Marlins fans alive on the planet that apparently write for FanSided. So if you know a Marlins fan that would like to run the FanSided website, have them send a message to @KingsOfKaufman, and I'm sure Mike can get them set up with their very own writing space over there, writing
we,
for the
we do the have site. We do have three guys who are writing over there. It's just, you know, it's... You know, for what I do on Kings of Kaufman, I'm writing every day, and these are guys that just don't have that kind of time and other obligations to do it. So we're definitely looking for somebody who can, you know, write every day about the Marlins. So if you're that big of a fan of the Marlins, one, I'm sorry.
And that's
although they do have
Royals,
two world championships. So
yeah, sorry,
you know,
I'm not
I can't
sorry,
really
actually.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know what?
The last 15 years is.
I would be okay with that. But yeah, if you want to write about baseball and you want to, the Marlins are your team and you want to write about them, great. If you just want to write about baseball and you're willing to start at the Marlins, hey, great. Send me a message.
Or if you just want to write about anything in general, send me or Jeff a message at the Jeff Report, and we'll get you lined up for the Echo Network. And we're talking sports or non-sports, movies, card games you play, anything. Whatever you want to write about, there's a spot for it on Echo. So let us know on that as well. You know, and here's a quick – I don't want a lot of diagnosis on this, but just a quick opinion from you guys. Would you, we mentioned the two world championships for the Marlins. Would you trade what the Royals have done the last 25 years and possibly the next what they could do the next 5 to 10 years? Would you trade that, 35 to 40-year window of consistently bad baseball or mediocre at best baseball, and who knows what the next 5 to 10 years bring? Maybe finally they get hot and do something. But would you trade that to have what the Marlins had, and to know that in the last 20 years you would have had two world championships, but you'd have had two of the most gut-wrenching fire sales that you – well, I guess now three of the most gut-wrenching fire sales that any team could ever have. Would you rather have what we've had with the Royals, or would you rather have what the Marlins have? I have to say I'd rather have what the Marlins have, because I'd love to have those – to be able to say I was a fan of a team with two world championships.
I'd say absolutely yes. What you're with the Marlins, as a KU fan, and I'm sure Mike can sympathize. Like, I don't ever take for granted how solid of a program KU has been. The fact they've been to the straight, like 27 straight NCAA tournaments, is amazing, and I fully know how great that is. But it's just to have those gut, even as competitive as KU had been. Before 2008, it had been 20 years since they'd won a national championship, and mm-hmm. it was, to most fan bases, it's like, well, big deal. But it just was one of those things. There were so many gut-wrenching Final Four national championship game losses, and to finally come through, it's like, last year was so much more enjoyable for me as a KU fan because of 2008. Having that championship, being able to have lived through it and seen it as a fan was so awesome. That the fact that they lost last year, I was just kind of like, hey, it was a great season. And I'm probably set as a KU fan for the next 10 years before I start, at least, or not maybe the next 10 years, but for 10 years after that 08 championship, before I really start getting antsy of like, okay, maybe we should get another one. But my point being that ultimately, that one championship can kind of – that can satiate you for quite a long time. So it did for the Royals,
Yeah. It said that any time that a coach wins a championship, like, for example, the Giants with their Super Bowl win, their coach is always on the hot seat and every year. And, he was almost fired the year that they won the Super Bowl. And winning the Super Bowl essentially allowed him 5 years in any place except New York. In New York, it might have allowed him 1.5. But he's still there and being competitive, and they've won another championship, and it's the same kind of thing. And I think, although the Mizzou fans would never admit it, I think Mizzou would much rather be in the situation where KU is and losing in the Final Four than where they've been. And so would every Creighton basketball fan and every Nebraska basketball fan. And, there's been – and probably every K-State basketball fan, although they've had some interesting runs of their own. But, there's nothing quite like KU basketball when it comes to success, even though that they've come up short and had those heartbreaking, horrible losses to low-ranked teams that nobody had ever heard of until they beat KU. Mike, would you rather have what we have with the Royals or with Miami?
Well, they have a saying that flags fly forever, and I have to go with that. You look at the Marlins, who came in 1993, and they've won two world championships in that time. You look at the Royals since 93, they've had two winning seasons in that time. I think it would be difficult when, you run into this run of success and then you have to rebuild. You sell things off. And, I can't imagine that as a Marlins fan to have to go through that. But you do get those championships, and, I think maybe it's a little bit of, if somebody were to say that they'd rather be where the Royals are, I think it's maybe they're just hesitant because, it's always – you never really know when you're going to rebuild.
You know, you look at what the Royals are doing now. If they don't get it out of this group and make the playoffs or make a run, you know, you don't know how long it's going to be until the next one just because this looked like this was going to be the group. So you're kind of putting everything into these, you know, groups of prospects. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. And I think the Pirates are kind of in the same boat where you're constantly rebuilding and, you know, some, you know, timing doesn't work out or this guy doesn't work out. So if you can bank on those two championships, that is a lot as a fan to kind of keep you going. And, you know, given the environment of Kansas City versus Miami for baseball fandom, you know, I think it's pretty universal that, you know, while there's not much support in Miami for the Marlins, you know, just in general, in Kansas City, man, it would be nuts. I mean, there would be, you'd have lifelong people no matter what. I mean, you have it now, and the team's been terrible for most of the last two decades. So, you know, just think of the allegiances with two championships on top of, you know, 85.
And because, I mean, right now it kind of sucks to be a Marlins fan, but I guess I don't know how many Marlins fans would react, but if I were a Marlins fan and some Royals fan came up to me and was like, man, that would totally suck to be you right now, I'd be like, yeah, I'm wearing my World Series championship hat, so let me know when you get one of these. You know, it's like one of those type of things. And even the Royals, they've got the one. So if you want to talk about, you know, historically, I mean, they're MLB teams who've never won a, you know, Tampa Bay's doing really well right now. But if they want to talk about, you know, historical franchises, Royals be like, well, where's your World Series? You know, so that one championship, just like Mike said, flags fly forever. And that it's like the argument we had on or the discussion we had on when Baseball Vault was on 1510, and they were talking about benching Steven Strasburg, which I still will never think was anything less than an absolutely ridiculously ludicrous thing to do.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, look at what happened with the Nationals. They lost the NLCS, and it's like, well, wouldn't you have done anything to go to the World Series? And or were they even in the NLCS? What am I thinking of? Or they losing the DL or NLDS?
They made it to the playoffs. That's all that mattered. And just to bench your number one starter or what is pretty much a number one starter on most teams is just insane. So yeah, I'm right on board with you there.
Yeah, I mean, what if they would have won the World Series and Strasburg would have been World Series MVP? I mean, would have been worth it. I mean, maybe you're taking a year off his career, but if you take it off the back end, what does it matter?
Yeah.
And what does it matter to him if you win that championship? That's all he wants,
like,
too.
I mean, and especially in a town like that, I mean, if they constructed that Nationals team here and would have foregone Strasburg's possible health to get him to win a World Series, and then the Royals would have won a World Series, and maybe Strasburg's career would have been completely ruined, but you know what? I wouldn't have held it against them, and I don't think anybody would have. And I mean, a freaking World Series championship. I still can't believe it.
You think there's vitriol against Dayton Moore right now? Can you imagine if we got to that close to the playoffs and he's like, yeah, Danny Duffy's not going to start this week. We got to save him for next year, for the rest of his career. Oh my Lord, they wouldn't care about the playoff run. They would be wanting to hang him. So,
and I think the Nationals feel a little bit differently because they moved from Montreal, but imagine if that team was still in Montreal with all that history, you know, similar to what the Royals have gone through the last 27 years of just, I mean, I think they've only made the playoffs like twice when they were in Montreal or something ridiculous like that. I mean, imagine if that's what they did, the one chance, they're the best team in the league. And yeah, it's just like you said, if Dayton Moore would have come out and said that about Danny Duffy, if the Royals, you know, we know we've basically got one shot. With this crew, there's, I mean, you hope to have multiple ones, but the best thing they can really count on would possibly be one year where everything comes together. And what if that was last year for the Nationals and then they pissed it away by not starting Strasburg? It's just ridiculous.
And the thing is, he could still go out in 30 innings into 2013, have something go wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, just because they sat him doesn't guarantee that he's going to stay healthy. You know, he's a pitcher and he's already had problems. There are questions about his mechanics, and it's the same for any pitcher. I mean, it's not a natural motion for your body to do. Things go haywire all the time. So, yeah, that was just
a silly call for them to do that. And, you know, I think it was justified to give them a lot of, you know, to question that organization for doing that.
You know, and I love how I said just a quick answer with no insight on the Miami Kansas City question, and that was 6 minutes ago. So I think we're going to move on. But the reason I brought that up is because after the fire sales, there were some KC fans that said, "Well, at least we're not Miami fans." And I said, "Yeah, at least we're not hanging those two banners in the last whatever it's been 15, 20 years." I said, "Josh, that's a shame to just do that." And on your subject of historical franchises, the Rangers fans have gotten real cocky the last couple of years. They come out to the K at least, and they like to talk a lot of trash. But they've never won a championship. But some people say if you can be good consistently like the Rangers have for the last 4 or 5 years, that wipes away the fact that they haven't won a championship, and it makes them a better franchise than the Royals. And I guess today they're a better franchise, but I mean, historically, I think it all comes down to championships. So, moving.
One quick note: if as far as Royals fans saying, "Man, it sucks to be Marlins with the fire sale and everything," should probably dial that back a little bit, because the sad fact of the matter is, if the Royals don't make some noise next year, I'm not necessarily talking playoffs, but if they tank like a 2009 season like they have that next year and go 67-95, well, Dayton Moore's gone, and you could easily see a Houston Astros situation where somebody else comes in and just says, "Hey, you know, Eric Hosmer's got a lot of value, so does Moustakas. I'm just going to make this farm system even bigger and better than it was a couple of years ago." So be careful I guess you're not really wishing for a fire sale, but you know what I mean. That sentiment of I'd be careful if I was talking smack on a Marlins fan is all I'm saying.
Right, and you know, we're Royals fans, so we really can't talk smack on anybody because we're bad.
Nope,
the team is horrible. So then our friend Dr. Toku Ball threw us a real curve, and I don't even know if you guys are going to be able to talk about this guy at all. I didn't have time to look up anything on him, and I gave you the notes for this episode about 2 hours ago. So, but he had mentioned that he had read on at my KBO, which is a Korean baseball organization, that the Kia Tigers will be in Arizona this year, and their top starting pitcher, and I hope I say this right, Suk Min Yoon, is a possible prospect to the U.S. next year, one of the guys that might come over, and they're going to be in Surprise using the Royals facilities. And he was thinking if the Royals would have enough money or enough desire to put in a bid on a guy like him, kind of similar to how Texas got Darvish.
Yep.
A couple years ago or last year, whatever that was. But yeah, do you see even if Dayton and company can get a real good look at this guy from Korea, do you see the Royals actually being a player in that kind of thing where they might have to do a bidding war to get a foreign player?
I don't know.
First of all, I think it's Suk Min Yoon, Troy.
Probably. I just want him to come to the Royals so that we can hear the announcers try to say his names.
Sorry, sorry, Mike McCarthy.
Right, yeah. Right. Or certain TV announcers that like to have too much fun on the air. Can you imagine what could happen to a guy's name like that? And oh man.
Yeah, but to answer your question, I don't think anytime the words bidding war comes up, I think the Royals just bow out immediately.
Yeah.
So I mean, if they're in a situation where they don't have complete control over the cost and the situation, then they won't do it. So now theoretically, the difference is it's not really a bidding war, since everyone gives, I believe, my understanding of how these posting fees and all that, you just kind of put in your bid and see what you can put for a posting fee and then negotiate after that, and you're the only one that can negotiate. So theoretically, if they came up with a posting fee that they were comfortable with and that happened to be the highest bid, then they could do it. But I mean, I could see them maybe throwing out a bid, but nothing like, you know, $40 million or whatever. I could see them being like maybe $5 or $10 million if they really, really, really thought he was something good. But ultimately, no, I don't think that had anything to do with it.
Yeah, there's, you know, I did a little bit of looking into this guy, and, you know, he's good, but he's kind of good for Korean baseball. And in the international scene, I mean, overall baseball, you got major leagues, and then the Japanese leagues are kind of, they're like a bunch of 4A kind of thing. And then you look at Korea, and that's even a little lower than that. So, you know, this guy, he's been good. You know, in the last 2 years, he's thrown about 330 innings, striking out better than 8.5 per 9 innings, doesn't walk a lot. But the context is that he's doing that against Korean baseball competition, which, you know, it's just not the same. I think he could probably be successful, but you're looking at a guy who maybe would equate to being a number four, number five starter. You know, I just don't think he's somebody that anybody's going to go all in on. If the Royals were to go after him, it would be something where they'd have to pay that posting fee, which, you know, that's, you know, a question anyway. That's just money that doesn't even go to payroll. That just goes to the team, the Kia Tigers, which, you know, I don't, it just doesn't seem like a David Glass move to do that. And then you still have to negotiate with the player. So it's difficult to go into that and expect the Royals to be very aggressive. And this guy's agent is Scott Boras. So that's another little wrinkle that the Royals kind of have to look at. So I don't think that the investment would be worth the return in this situation. Now, if they could get him for $3 million, fine. I think that'd be okay. You can definitely do that. But I don't think it's going to happen. You know, I think it's interesting, but I just don't see much coming out of it.
Especially when you think the problem is with those posting fees and things, you kind of paint yourself into a corner as an organization, because say the Royals were to spend 10 to 15 million on a posting fee, call it 15, which is based on the Darvish postings and different things like that. It's not that high. Say they spend $15 million on a posting fee. Well, then, they, like you said, Mike, they've got to negotiate, and they're putting themselves in a position where they say, hey, we've already $15 million sunk cost down the drain. We've got to get this worked out. And someone like Scott Boras knows that.
There's no leverage. Yeah.
Ton of leverage, because it says, well, if you don't give me a $50 million contract or whatever they want, then he's just going to walk and go back to the Korean League, and his Korean team is $15 million richer. Is that money?
I don't believe that's true. The posting fee they do, I remember reading on the Darvish thing, I believe they get the posting fee back if he doesn't sign.
Is that so?
I would have to
I heard they keep that fee.
See, and I've heard that they get it back. You guys can keep going on this for a second. I'll try to look that up real quick.
The idea is right, though. I don't know. I think Troy's right, but I don't know.
I was under the impression that they kept it no matter what.
It so rarely comes up and is relevant to the Royals that I don't pay that much attention to it. So I don't know. But I don't know. I mean, you get into where it's Boras, and yeah, you do have that spot where, you know, he's a good negotiator. There's a reason why he's the most well-known and most despised player agent in sports, because he's very good at his job. And if he's involved with this guy, they certainly have an angle on something. So, it's something that you got to kind of worry about. The Royals don't seem too worried about dealing with Boras, but, you know, I just don't see that they're going to go out of their way to take this kind of risk.
Well, here's what I found, and this is not, you know, as Michael said, I'm not verifying my mother on this. I did just go to Wikipedia. But according to the posting system, which applies to Nippon Pro Professional Baseball, which is Japanese baseball, and Major League Baseball, under the posting system, when an NPB player is posted, MLB holds a four-day-long silent auction during which teams can submit sealed bids in an auction to win exclusive rights to negotiate with the player for 30 days. If the MLB team wins the winning bid and NPB player agrees on contract terms before the 30-day period has expired, the NPB team receives the bid amount as a transfer fee, and the player is free to play in the MLB. If the MLB team cannot come to a contract agreement with the posted player, then no fee is paid, and the player's rights revert back to his NPB team.
So there we go.
Never mind.
This guy, yeah. But
now that, and again, this that applies to Nippon. That's not to say that that Korea might have a different system, and there's already been some issues with Korean baseball and how they go about things, because didn't Texas get in trouble for getting a player from Korea incorrectly or something? So
there was something, yeah. I don't recall.
So I don't know if they're adopting a new system over there or what have you. So we'd have to find out more about the Korean baseball system, but just kind of a quick last thought on this. I wish that I was going to be down in Surprise by March, which it doesn't look like I'm going to get there until April, which will mean I'll miss spring training this year. But it would be really cool to see the Rangers and Royals play against this KBO team,
I bet,
the Kia Tigers, which are sponsored by Kia Motors. I mean, that's where their name comes from, and over there, their team names come from their sponsorships. So I assume that this team is coming to America to play some spring training ball against American teams. So I would assume that if they're going to play in the Rangers Royals complex, that you would see them play that team a few times.
I think they did that with some teams last year. They would play either the minor league teams, or they would play split squad games or something, just as kind of exhibition kind of things. But on the note about Kia, do you think the Royals could send the Shawnee Mission Kia Jen back to Korea with them?
I think she would have to call. Wouldn't she be like contractually obligated to call some games with Rex Hudler during those spring training matchups?
What if they have a Korean version of Shawnee Mission Kia Jen?
Oh my lord! Oh my. Let's not even think about it.
That'd be just too awesome for words.
It would be something, Jeff. Let's put it that way. One final note today, before we get into some more nonsense. I think this whole episode has been nonsense, but mixed in with a little bit of good baseball talk. But we did get an email, which you can send to us at royalmanreport@gmail.com. Again, it's the old name, royalmanreport@gmail.com. Comes from our friend David Lowe, who we used to give a hard time to because of a different email, but he has become, him and I have gotten on a good base, and his thoughts were correct in the beginning. The process that he brought them to me was not so good. What's that?
This is, by the way, not Royals player David Lowe,
or former pitcher for Boston and other teams, David Lowe, which is how his name is spelled. I do believe it's the same as the pitcher, David Lowe. But yes, he says, Troy, great podcast with Jason Parks. Awesome questions asked and lots of them. By the way, found it interesting that Jason partially blamed Hosmer's struggles in 2012 on personal off-the-field issues. He didn't elaborate, and you guys didn't follow up and ask, but I wonder what he was referring to. Well, for the record, we couldn't follow up and ask. He wasn't going to give us any more than what we got, and I know this to be fact because we did mention it off the air to him, and he was also on the Pine Tar Press show a couple weeks after he was on with us, mentioned the exact same thing again, and didn't tell them on the air. We asked Joel Goldberg about it, and he didn't tell us, and he actually deflected the question pretty well. But, you know, my best guess, and we've talked about it a little bit on the show since I've gotten this letter, but my best guess is that he had the personal problems that 21-year-olds have. He might be a multimillionaire, although, honestly, his contract's not that big right now, but he's a future multimillionaire.
Well, he got his signing bonus.
Yeah, I don't know how much it was. Do you ever know that off the top of your
million.
Head? Yeah, so he had that going his way.
He got paid.
I'm sure that he got into the major leagues and that he had some fun at bars like Kelly's Westport Inn and Harry's and other places in the Westport area and downtown. And I'm sure that he has some lady callers that played into his struggles. Now, could I narrow that down to exactly where his problem lies? And can I say for sure that he was bringing that back to the clubhouse? No, we don't have that kind of information. But I'm guessing, you know, he's a kid. And I think that's one thing we forget is these are kids playing a man's game, and they're young. I mean, we have Jason Adam on all the time, and he turned 21 last week, you know, a couple months ago. I mean, the guy is a baby. So you gotta keep that in mind that these guys aren't very old. So I'm sure that they're dealing with a lot of issues that you dealt with at 22, 23 years old, but they're just doing it on a much larger stage, and they're doing it where they're taking it back into a job that they're not leaving their problems at the door, and they're taking it back into their job, and their job is played in front of millions. So do I know any of that to be fact? No. But would that be my best guess? Absolutely. And as to how much truth there is to that, that's between Jason Parks and the paper, because he didn't give us any more than what we heard, and I can't really elaborate. I'm not in the business of guessing what goes on in a baseball player's life. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this year. Hopefully he's gotten all of his personal problems taken care of, and we'll be past that, and he'll be back to the way he was his first partial season up in the big leagues.
I don't think it's any more than that. I mean, I don't know. It could be a much bigger issue, but I think you'd also kind of hear other whispers aside from this. You know, I don't want to just speculate wildly and go crazy, but I think, you know, like you said, you know, you take a guy who his job is very non-traditional. He has money. He's a good-looking kid. He's a big, you know, 6'3". You know, he's got Kansas City, which has all these great spots, you know, the Plaza, Westport, all that. Plus, they travel a lot. I got to imagine there's a little bit of a focus that might have come into play in his second year after the first year, frankly, looked kind of easy. You know, so maybe he didn't work as hard. Maybe it was something like that. You know, maybe there was a girl. Maybe there was distractions like that. You know, until I hear more, I don't think it's anything bigger than that. But, I mean, I don't know. You never know. But it just it seems more like it's kind of a youth maturity focus kind of thing to me, if I had to guess.
Yeah, and I think what Troy was saying is important to remember that, you know, I mean, these guys are just kids. I mean, Hosmer turned, 22 last season, I think. And it's a situation where I think for him – and a lot of times when you're a player like him, it's really tough to kind of assimilate everything that happened. If you look back to, he came up May of 2011, and May of 2010, he was in A-ball, you know. Yeah. So he goes from A-ball thinking, okay, I'm probably a couple years away, to within a year, boom, he's on the scene and he's this superstar. He gets a standing ovation. I was there. I was actually looking at it earlier. The ticket from that game, I still have, you know, standing ovation, and everything just happened so fast for him. I think that he didn't have time to sit and think about it and kind of relish in everything. I think there was, and leading up to that, all those guys. I mean, it sounds kind of weird, but it seems like it'd be easier to maintain focus when you're in high school for these kids than it is when you're, you know, you've got all these other distractions and you've got all this money. And so, you know, they're playing baseball all the time, you know, is whether it's for their school and then they're on their traveling teams playing fall ball and they're playing in the summer and the spring, and it's just constant baseball all the time. And then they finally get in this position where he's got an off season, a legitimate off season. And in this offseason, he's a superstar, and he's going around town. Everybody knows who he is. Everybody knows his name. He's got money. He's got all the money he wants, and he's 22 years old. And, you know, like you said, like you guys did, I'm not going to speculate. You know, you kind of hear whispers of different things, and it's probably something simple. Like, I don't think it's anything bad that's detrimental. Like, I'm not going to speculate, but, I mean, I don't think he's any sort of – I mean, a woman or something wouldn't surprise me or anything like that, or that he just got distracted by too many women or whatever the case may be. But, I mean, I think that is important, and that's something that if the Royals are smart, that's what they're going to pick up on, and that's what they're going to try and fix with Hosmer before. I mean, you know, they hire new hitting coaches and all that stuff. Well, I think if there really is, and whether the issues, whatever they were, you know, it's out there. Someone like Jason Parks is going to mention it on two podcasts. It doesn't mean there's nothing there. There's something there. So I think that's where the Royals need to come in. Okay, here's what we do, and we need to really get this corralled so that you can be the player you want to be. You know, we don't care what you do on your own time, but there is something that needs to change, and that's an ultimatum that you, as an organization, you kind of have to. It's a fine line, because you don't want to put the guy in a position where he feels threatened by his own organization, but you also have to let him know that, you know, that's not acceptable. He needs to be the player that he needs to be. So, I mean, ultimately, there's a lot of things that kind of tie into it. But yeah, I think everything just happened so fast here. Like Mike said, was kind of easy because you didn't have time to process it. So I think that kind of helped a lot making that first year, and then he had time to kind of sit back and be a celebrity and think about how good he was at baseball. And he didn't work as hard. Maybe he thought, oh, you know, I really am the next superstar and I can just show up and be Josh Hamilton. And it's not quite the case.
And Mike was, that typing you heard was Mike letting us know he had one more comment. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned the whole off season thing, difference between high school and whatnot, because reminds me of 2010 off season. You know, Hosmer finished the year at Double A. They went through the playoffs, so he went. You know, they played two more series there. He helped them win the Texas League championship, and then he went to the Arizona Fall League. So he did that. And then later in the offseason, he also went and was part of Team USA in the Pan American Games. So all of the offseason before 2011, he was still playing baseball. And then, you know, jumps right into spring training in February, you know, hits everything in Omaha, makes it to the big leagues. Last offseason, he didn't have any of those extracurricular kind of things. He didn't have, you know, any offseason leagues. You know, I don't know if that had any kind of you know, impact on his workload and what he was working on, or if it was just happens to be coincidence. But, you know, I think maybe there is something to that too.
Well, and I've always said on this show, we don't talk a lot of potential trades until they happen, because we're not a show that's in the business of guessing. And that's what we're kind of doing with this, but it was brought up by a longtime listener and somebody that we appreciate and respect. And we wanted to address the issue, because I think it is a big issue for Kansas City, but I mean, I don't think what we're saying is anything different than what anybody else is saying. But the thing is, this kid is the king of Kansas City. There's no Chiefs player that's a bigger name right now. Even though the soccer team, the Sporting, is very good, winning championships, they don't have the kind of following quite yet to – they've got a couple of guys that are out there in the city and people adore and what have you, but they're not quite the recognizable name. I think right now if you say who – if you ask somebody off the street, who in Kansas City sports is the biggest name, you're either going to get Billy Butler because he's the all-star, or you're going to get Eric Hosmer, maybe some Mike Moustakas, but typically you're going to get something around there. And Eric Hosmer is the king of Kansas City. Now, the thing is, he might be the king of Kansas City, but we've had a king here before, and that king's still around, and he's still in the organization. So if there's anybody that can teach Hosmer how to live as the king in Kansas City, it's George Brett. And he figured it out. He didn't get married until after he was out of the sport. He's got a couple of kids now, and they're awesome. And one of his kids keeps in touch with me on Twitter, and you know, he talks about what it's like to be a Brett and what have you. And so, I mean, I think there's something there that can be taught to him by somebody that's done it before. To close up the show today, because we've been recording for about an hour, we'll see how much of that actually makes it to paper. So as we're going to close out, Mike had suggested, and I don't know what direction you want to go with this, so I'll let you take it. He wants to do some Royals resolutions.
I guess, yeah. It just seems like it's that time of year. I mean, we've got New Year's Eve is coming up in a couple days. We're going to start 2013. So maybe, you know, everybody makes some resolutions, and maybe you stick to them, maybe you don't. I guess if I were to make one, it would be to not flip out all the time on Ned Yost when he does something. Because I try not to be reactionary, but my goodness, you know, you put a lot into this team watching it as a fan, and then you see something that you don't think is right from a baseball standpoint, and you freak out. And I want to try to do a little bit less of that. We'll see if it lasts past spring training, but if I'm going to pick one thing, that's what I'm going to try to do.
If I had to pick one, I guess it'd be along the same lines, but it would probably be to ease up a little bit on Dayton Moore. I feel like I feel like he gets a lot of heat, and rightfully so, but I feel like I go after him quite a bit, pretty hard, especially on this show, and a lot of the stuff that I write as well. It's one of those things where I go after him pretty hard, but I know that his job is incredibly difficult. Not just being a GM of a baseball team in Major League Baseball, which is incredibly hard in and of itself, but being a GM on this team and this town with David Glass as your owner is just exponentially more difficult. You know, it's got to be from a difficulty standpoint of being successful, it's got to be one of the top five hardest positions in the league to be the GM of the Royals. I mean, if you really think about it and bring that into account, it's got to be tough. And so, you know, sometimes I lose sight of that. So I guess if I was to make a resolution, it would be to let him, because despite all his shortcomings, he's trying to put a winner on the field. He's got a lot of constraints on him, but he's making moves, whether I agree with them or not, he's making moves to try and make this team better and put a winner on the field next year because we deserve one. So he should get credit for that, regardless of how bad his moves actually are.
I guess for me, it'll be more during the season. Well, I guess mine would be three-tiered. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to try to not get as upset as I do with the Royals organization, more so the behind-the-scenes stuff that you don't see, especially dealing with their PR folks. you know, I'm not a season ticket holder anymore, so I don't have to worry about any of that. So we'll see how that goes, and I will try to be more understanding on Twitter when people overreact during spring training things, like the fact that somebody starts off slow that they don't like. You know, just imagine if Francoeur starts off slow, the kind of outrage that there'll be, or if James Shields has a couple of bad starts, I'm going to try not to blow people up on Twitter. And then additionally on that one, try not to blow people up when they start complaining about the DH again, because, or the lack of DH in interleague games. Because of course that's the end of the world, not having, oh boy, let that pitcher hit. It's the worst thing that's ever happened to baseball. It's only been done for 100 years. So, I'm going to try to be a little more understanding of that since I enjoy baseball in both of its forms and just love baseball in general. So I'm going to try to be a more understanding baseball fan this coming year.
Yeah, I think it'll be better for everybody's pulse rates and everything to just chill out a bit. Maybe. I mean, I'm not going to stick to it. I know by mid-April I'm going to be yelling at Yost for the bunts and for leaving in a pitcher too long so he can maybe qualify for a win. But, you know, it's the thought that counts, right?
You know, I just love that you didn't even take a breath. You're like, everybody just needs to chill out a little bit. Maybe. Well, forget it. What are we talking about? It's going to be another Royals season.
I know myself, so I'm not going to lie to myself.
Well, I think on that note, we are going to close out a very successful Kansas City Baseball Vault Royal Man Report 2012 year. I am going to put I'm going to see if I can find any other ones before I put this show to print, or to post, I guess. But, you know, we want to thank – let me stop for a second here and probably go on what's going to be a 10-minute diatribe. But
probably.
I want to thank Chris Kamler for all that he did for the show in 2012. We haven't – obviously, we're not in the man cave anymore, and there's some behind-the-scenes stuff with that. And you know, some of it's been regrettable. And we love Chris. He'll always be a friend of the program. We wish we were still recording with him, but we always wish him the best. And he's got some other ventures of his own that he's working on right now. So we wish him the best. We'd like to thank Chris Kamler for all he's done. Although you don't see them out in our episodes, but Chris Atkins, who you know is Llama, and Lori Jen, Lori Kunkel, they've been a big part of the show this last year, and we've had a lot of fun with them. A big thanks to all of the folks out there that have helped this show really come into its own in 2013, of course, Jeff and Mike, but Aaron Gnerk to help just get started out, and he was, I believe we switched, I think we switched out of the into the man cave the beginning of this last year, so I don't know if we were in, I don't remember if we were in the old place or not in this year at all, but we always want to thank the guys from the Big Dumb Fun Show. They were very, very big part of this show starting out, and so we thank them again this year. All of our guests, the big league players like Brian Pena and Danny Duffy, who will be on in January, I feel comfortable in saying that. I've talked to both them by text, and it seems like we're going to be able to get them on very, very soon again, so we'll be excited to hear from Brian Pena sporting his new Tigers uniform and Danny Duffy working on his surgery. You know, we want to thank all the guests that we've had over the last year and all the work that's went into that, and the folks up at FanSided who've supported us and everybody else that's been involved. But I cannot thank Jeff Herr and Michael Engel enough for being willing to show up on a pretty regular basis to do this and to continue to make the Kansas City Baseball Vault a huge success. Big thank you to all of our listeners and fans and people on Twitter and all you folks out there rock. It wouldn't be a point in doing this if there weren't people listening. So we appreciate all of you as well. Everybody, please have a safe New Year's Eve. We're going to do a small shindig at my house. So if you're in the Johnson County area and you want to come over to Mission and hang out with me and a few other people, we're definitely doing a little thing here. Just hit me up. But until 2013, which apparently there will be one, the world did not end in December as the Mayan calendar showed. So it looks like y'all are stuck with us for another year. So here's to a successful 2013 for the Kansas City Baseball Vault and a successful 2013 for the Kansas City Royals and a successful 2013 for all you folks that are out there in this world. And best of luck to you. Merry Christmas and happy holidays, and of course, a happy new year. Stay tuned after this exit as I have some outtakes from the year. May just be one set from February, but if not, there will be more. Until then, go Royals.
Be forgot in days of old anxiety. In days of old anxiety, my friend, in days of old anxiety, we'll drink a cup of kindness yet to days of old anxiety.
Word, you just can't leave stuff alone.
What do you mean?
You always got to fiddle with me.
I found an old outtake from the 2:15 show, which was you and Chris and Lori.
Oh God, that one.
Yeah, 6 minutes.
On Valentine's Day, yeah.
Okay.
I ain't going out. It's Tuesday.
Right.
And I got no one to go out.
We're already off the rails.
Were you were not able to get a entire crowd on ESPN2 to chant your name as our faithful fake news.
Yeah, what happened, man?
And add that to the list of things that Chris Candler does when he's homesick from work.
Idle hands are the devil's work. Isn't that what they say? Isn't that what the
something like that. Thing,
yes. I couldn't be one-upped.
I had to unfollow Casey Royalman. I have a good reason for that. He has sent out 50,000 tweets. I had to unfollow. Shortly thereafter, Casey Royalman, a guy who I like to think I have helped promote his local celebrity status with me and Casey Royalman.
Why would you want to be DMing Casey Royalman?
Yes, that's the question.
He's an important member of the sports atmosphere in Kansas City.
No, stop right there. Insurance for Mike Moustakas is the Unibomber. That is what we're supposed to believe what this $2 million deal was all about. So I was going to say, that sounds like what happens on most of Mike's dates, but it's the other way around.
You wouldn't even know, man. See, I've got... Never mind.
You know, wow.
Did I say that loud? Am I still talking?
Mike, what I meant by that. I hope nobody took that the wrong way. I'm sure nobody on this show would have the mindset to take that in any inappropriate way.
Weird people or anything.
But I'm an Uber nerd.
Now's your shot, boys.
It is.
Yeah, we've got Chris, who's comic relief. We've got Troy, who's the MC. And then we're just the number nerds.
It's true.
It's just what it is.
We are privileged to be joined by Mr. and Mrs.
Lance Otto.
So. You're gonna get old someday, like my wife, and you're gonna want to start scrapbooking crap from your wedding, and you'll have those pictures. Believe me.
Remember we went on that podcast?
Yeah. What the hell was that?
whatever happened to those guys?
So those listening, if you wanted actual baseball knowledge on this podcast, go ahead and just turn it off.
There was like 5 minutes there.
had a little snowball fight with the kids before on our wedding day. That was kind of fun.
Because I actually can marry people if anybody cares. I can actually marry you as myself, Royal Man, Colin Mayhem, whatever delights you. I do roller derby weddings and I can do baseball weddings if you want. Okay, so yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I'll play Rustin Dodd in this. So pretend I'm
play Kid.
Right.
Oh God.
Okay. Okay, Kid.
Okay. So go ahead, tell the email. Read the email.
Okay. Hey, Troy, wanted to pass along a story. It was at St. Thomas Aquinas for a high school basketball game the other night. There's a joke in there somewhere. And a high school kid came up to me.
Are you Rustin Dodd?
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome. A high school kid reads the newspaper.
I heard you on the Royal Man Report.
Yep. So...
So he says,
"That is gentlemen, that was theater."
Yeah, this that you know you had. What did we have on? We had Facebook theater on the Rambling Morons on the New Year's Day show. That was email theater from. We are apparently infiltrating Johnson County high schools, and we know for sure that Chris is. There's a restraining order against Chris for that very thing.
Yeah,
so
retweet star.
here goes my screen cute. Full of a full row.
Yeah, there we go. There goes the chat room right there.
Oh, goodness.
Ever. Never ask their... It's like asking, well, hey, what do you bench? You know, you just don't do it.
So
you don't ask that question?
I don't worry about it because I know
that's my problem. I've been asking them what they bench.
There's the Michael Engel first date right there.
It took me... They have a great menu, so what do you bench?
Same room on your wedding night? That's a bold move right there. Yeah. Bold move.
He was asking earlier if it was true that you were tweeting. They saw tweets coming from you if you were tweeting on your wedding day. I said the ones that have come in the last hour are definitely from her.
They're podcasting and, on their wedding day,
right?
Too.
And I told him that, and he goes, "Somebody needs to tape your thumbs down because you obviously have an addiction that needs cured."
That was my sister who has never tweeted before. I had to give her a really quick lesson on tweeting. You notice there were no hashtags. I didn't teach her that part.
None of the complicated stuff. Yeah, no. To come down. Are you guys hungry? I have more chili upstairs. I have a big old pot of chili. So
it's chili for your wedding night.
Because that's what you want on your wedding night.
Chili.
Bunch of beanie chili. Baby.
We've been together for 2 years. She's used to it.
There's no surprises at this point.
But the question is, are you used to it when she gets gassy? Because let's be real, no woman gets off without having
gassy. Two party fouls. You asked her how old she was. And you're talking facts
to baseball.
What's going on?
Have you guys ever noticed what I tweet at her? I tweet the same stuff, so it's not like
whenever they do it, and we're sitting on the carpet, and someone farts, and everybody just. Are we really talking about this?
I don't know. Did you guys get married a couple hours ago?
Hey, I'm just throwing out topics and seeing where they go. So far, I've been pretty successful. So
you guys are just about the cutest couple in the world, by the way. Kind of sick.
Good old American couple.
Always.
Good for you guys. That's great.
And I'm sure Mike's not invited, so.
No, Dave's not a fan of mine. He doesn't like me.
Blessed we are to have met all you guys, even as crazy as you are.
Yeah, no, blessed might not be the best word.
She says looking right at fake videos. Yeah,
no other sportscast feature newlywed fans. This is awesome, so thank you for that.
That's true.
I think it's safe to say that newlywed fans on podcasts is a new market inefficiency.
So. Dave Darby just popped up and said most podcast guys don't know girls, just saying. So thank you for proving that we do know girls by coming on this show.
So Royals Farm Chick, of course, added, we are the Royals Nation, and we really are, and we do appreciate everybody that listens, everybody that...
All right.
We rang the doorbell. She opened the door, and she goes, you must be the married couple.
Mr. and Mrs. Jenny and Lance Otto.
And we're out of here. Go Royals.
This is Kent Babb, and you're listening to the Royal Man Report.
Two in the morning, whenever he gets around to being, Troy, we just start, spamming my phone. Why did you guys talk about me like that? That was stupid. You guys dumb. Where's Troy? Where's Troy there? What's going on? What happened on my show?
Wow, I'm really upset that Jeff isn't here because we already got a call back. It's kind of like the Muppet show. She's on the balcony talking to us.
Verlander's good. He's not bad.
But what happened if Brooks Bowers was traded for Doug Fister?
Would you go Fister Bowers or Doug Bowers Fister?
My brain would explode.
Your brain, Twitter, and your brain would explode.
Yes.
Well, as you know, Mr. Engel, I don't do impressions. Do a Popeye.
Wow. You're not even close to what I'm trying to get from you. Jeff, I need to record next week. Bye, Thomas. Bye, Mario. Congratulations. Thank you. We're back today. We're just going back to the uncomfortable upgrades. One better. No, I have a question. I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you. Not this one. I can't talk.
That may just completely just overshadow. Kelly's Westport Inn presents the Royal Man Report with Casey Royal Man.
He's an important member of the sports atmosphere in Kansas City.
Michael Engel. Jeff Herr. And
Chris Kamler, who is the producer of the Royal Man Report.
Music by 49 Stones and Andre and the Giants. And now, the Royal Man Report.
It's just this group of Royals fans, like three or four of them, and they are kind of clinically insane.
That's by the way, you just said four curse words, and Troy, somewhere, his brain just exploded. Senior executive editor of kingsofkaufman.com.
I'm the co-host of that show. Kind of.
And I talked to some people. I don't know what his show is called. He's going to get mad at me, but he's Royal Man. You were on his show, too, I think. And so I did his podcast, and he kind of got on me for ripping the Royals when we talked about their top tens down.
Those guys know their system, man.
They do very well. Yeah. And it is still down, but you know what? It's still really, really good.
People will come, Royal Man. They'll come to the Royal Man Report for reasons they can't even fathom. They'll show up via a Google search, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at our podcast as innocent as children, longing for audio. Of course we don't mind if you have a listen, you'll say. It's a free download on Stitcher Radio or iTunes or on Kings of Kaufman. They'll click the link without even thinking about it. For it is time they have, and baseball discussion they lack. And they'll sit in their chair, sit at their desk on a perfect afternoon. They'll find they have a download all queued up and ready where they listened last week and cheered for their favorite segments. And they'll listen to the show, and it'll be as if they dipped themselves in magic waters. The insight will be so thick they'll have to brush it away from their faces. People will come, Royal Man. The one constant through all the months, Royal Man, has been baseball and the Royal Man Report. Kansas City has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It has been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt, and erased again. But the Royal Man Report has marked the time. This podcast, these listeners, it's a part of our past, Royal Man. It reminds us of all that was once good and could be again. Oh, people will come, Royal Man. People will most definitely come.